Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by NOPD Deputy Superintendent Nicholas Gernon. Nicholas, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Sheriff. How have you been?
Is it okay to call you Nick?
Nick is just fine. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you, sir. It's so much easier. Yes. Nick, I'm really excited about having you on the show. I've come across you in our occupation a couple of times, but I don't know you well. I've heard a lot about you, a lot of folks that I have a lot of respect for, respect you and the job that you do, and I want to congratulate you on the role that you're playing in the NOPD today.
Oh, well, thank you for that. It really is a team effort, though. I mean, sometimes I'm the face of a lot of success that a lot of hard-working folks are putting us towards.
Absolutely. So, Nick, you had an opportunity to testify the other day up in Baton Rouge relative to the creation of zones within the city of New Orleans. I'm getting a lot of texts as I talk about this. Where I stand on it, I support the position that y'all are advocating, that criminals don't pay attention to gun-free zone laws. And I keep reminding folks, that's not what this is about. When you have a gun-free zone, it creates more enforcement options for the police, right?
That's absolutely right. And look, let me just kind of take a slight step back to tell everybody that, you know, the New Orleans Police Department doesn't have any opposition to concealed weapons permits. We don't have a problem with well-trained, you know, law-abiding citizens legally carrying guns. What we would like, though, is a carve-out, and we would prefer it for the city of New Orleans, but the bill that we're talking about today with Senator Talbert's bill makes a carve-out for the French Quarter that requires citizens or individuals to have a concealed carry permit to carry within the quarter. We think that's just a smart option because it means that person has the experience, the training, and the knowledge necessary to know how to keep themselves and those around them safe. And then to your point, which is really the kind of the bigger point, my neighbor told me this the other day. She's like, well, criminals don't pay attention to the gun crime, you know, the gun laws, so why enact more? Well, you're right, but we are able to enforce them on criminals. So if somebody walks past an officer now carrying a concealed weapon, that officer has the reasonable suspicion to believe that that person has a concealed weapon. As it stands today, the officer walks up to that person and says, hey, I think you have a pistol on your right hip. The person says, yep, and I have a concealed weapons permit. There's a slight interaction where we make sure that the permit's there, it's valid, and they go about their way. If they say no or yeah, but, then we have the opportunity to intervene, to remove the gun from the street for that night, and to remove that individual from the street for that night and arrest them for carrying a concealed weapon. The point of it is that we're taking a tool away from our officers, the ability to make sure that the person carrying a gun down Bourbon Street, very unique environment. I was the French Quarter commander for 3 years. 18 million visitors come down there every single year. down that very unique environment. We're just making sure that those individuals, if they have a concealed weapons permit, we're comfortable that they likely have the training and knowledge on how to handle themselves. And if they don't, then we have the ability to take that gun away from them and off the streets and perhaps prevent a bigger tragedy down there.
These zones are the exceptions that exist right now. Even with the passage of this concealed carry bill, are still enforceable, correct?
Correct. Yep. School zones, bars, so things like that. Yeah. Courthouses.
So what the public needs to know, that effective July 4th, if something doesn't happen in this legislative session, there are fairly large areas of the French Quarter today that you're not allowed to carry a gun in. And unless there is a change in the methodology, it very well could be, and I'm not suggesting that y'all are going to do this, but it could be, you would have the right to do it, and it would probably make enforcement sense, go enforce in those areas where those zones exist, and a lot of innocent people get caught up in that because they have no idea they're walking by a school, for example.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. For example, a school, although I'll kind of caution us because one of the representatives brought that up last week. You know, the last school in the quarter closed. So that is a school that we no longer have in the quarter as well. Yeah. Yeah. So that's another layer why we're really thinking the French Quarter is a reasonable carve out to this, because with the exception of all the bars and ABOs and Class A licenses, we don't have that school zone kind of exemption that we have in other parts of the city.
So I was unaware of that, so I'm glad you corrected me. But nonetheless, if you go to the quarter, you're carrying a concealed handgun under the new law that goes into effect July 4th, I believe. You can't go into an ABO outlet, right?
Correct.
Because it's prohibited.
That's my appreciation of it as well. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's a lot that is offered in the French Quarter that, even with constitutional carry, you're not allowed to participate in. And you put yourself at risk of being arrested. Not to mention, every business owner in the French Quarter has the option to post a sign at their entrance saying that particular store is a gun-free zone. And if you walk into that store with a weapon, you could be subject to arrest, correct?
That's correct. And look, that's why I think, you know, the requirement that you have a concealed weapons permit is important, because in that permitting process, you gain the knowledge that you need to keep yourself safe from running afoul of the law inadvertently.
So I just point this out. I mean, because a lot of folks are trying to make a big thing about, well, this is infringing on my constitutional right to carry. Okay. Granted, but what do you intend to do down there? Because I suspect that a lot of the businesses, you know, a lot of those business owners, I do as well. I've had a number of them say, come July 4th, we're posting a sign. So you may be able to go down there, but you ain't going to be able to do anything, because there are a lot of people that are going to exercise their right for the safety of their employees to say, we're not allowing guns in our store.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of these businesses are, you know, certainly looking ahead to what can they do to make their employees, their other customers, to create a safe environment for them. And the reality, that's what our officers are doing, are looking to create a safe environment for everybody that's coming down here. You know, our officers have a lot of concerns about, will they be able to create that safe environment that we've created in the past? You know, during Mardi Gras, everybody's heard the numbers. We confiscated 111 guns throughout the festivity areas, if you will. Every year, the 8th District just by itself confiscates, you know, 300 to 350 guns, illegal guns, not just guns, illegal guns, being carried throughout the 8th District, which is the French Quarter, the Marigny, and the Downtown Development District area. So, you know, we have concerns that this might take away a tool for us to keep folks safe. And, you know, the approach on this bill, I think, is reasonable, because, you know, not every law is one size fits all, right? So what works on Bourbon Street might not work in Alexandria, right? Or might not work in some other areas of the state. And that's fair. I'm not asking other areas of the state to, you know, comport to our needs, and I would just ask them to not force us to comport to their needs.
It seems that Senator Kirk Talbot has taken a very deliberate and open and receptive approach to this. I guess it's hard to compromise with folks that are adamant about a particular right and not willing to carve out any exceptions and are really opposed to the exceptions that exist at the present time.
Comment on that, though? I really want to thank Senator Talbot for taking this on and for recognizing the need for us to have some allowances here. And I do think that there are a lot of folks that are strongly in support of gun rights that are in support of safe gun ownership. And I would hope that they would recognize that that's what this is. It's about people entering this area with 18 million visitors a year, having some minimal level of training and knowledge so that they can keep, you know, themselves safe and not, as you said, accidentally run afoul of the law or end up in a situation they don't want to end up in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the issue, I think, is going to be once business owners decide to post, they're going to take it very seriously. I don't think they're going to do it just for the sake of doing it. And if they have managers that are running those businesses and they see that somebody's carrying a concealed handgun in their place of business, they're calling the police.
You know? Correct. And we're going to be forced to enforce the law on that person, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yep.
I think a lot of folks don't recognize they're setting themselves up to fail, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, because once you get down there and in that area, there's not a lot to do if people start collectively start posting on their business. You've been down there a lot. You've seen what goes on. I've said that there's no other place like that in the United States. I have traveled in every major city. You cannot walk out of a bar with an open container almost nowhere. Yeah. This is a place so unique. Bars are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't see that anywhere either. I mean, if you would, just over the years, I'm sure you've seen it all. This is not a healthy jambalaya, this mixture, right?
No, I think that's a good way to describe it. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the 8th District. I was a commander there. I was a sergeant there. I was a violent crime detective there right after Katrina. And it is a carnival of controlled chaos. And we want people to come and have a good time. And I used to tell folks that, we will allow you to act like an adult as long as you can act like an adult. Come, drink, eat, have fun, have a good time. But we want it to be a safe environment. And the New Orleans Police Department has worked very hard on making the French Quarter and the downtown area that I refer to it as the hospitality area, right, from basically Cali up to Marigny, a safe environment where people can come and have a good time, where business can come and have special events. I mean, look, we're right in the middle of the throes of planning for the Super Bowl. That is a huge lift for this city, for this department, for all public safety agencies throughout the region are going to be contributing to creating a safe environment for this. And, you know, it really is difficult to say we're going to do everything we can to create a safe environment and then take away one of the main tools that we have to create that safe environment. It is causing concerns amongst the troops on the ground, amongst the officers, amongst the folks that are out there every day, day in, day out, working to make this area safe.
Absolutely. We're visiting with NOPD Deputy Superintendent Nicholas Gernon. Nick, a lot of people are waiting with the anticipation of Troop NOLA being set up by the Louisiana State Police. Talk to us about that. How's that process going? I know there's a lot of conversations between the NOPD and state police moving forward. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so there is certainly coordination between the superintendent's office and the colonel's office to make sure that we're not duplicating efforts, to make sure that their efforts are enhancing ours, and to ensure that the crime plan for the city of New Orleans, which the superintendent has been very open about, is being executed on all levels. because you don't want to have one group of folks over here doing what they think is a priority and another group doing something else. You got to deconflict in our business, as you know. So those conversations are happening. Those plans are being put into place. I have confidence in the colonel and the leadership team that he picked to make this work. The leadership team that he picked has a real familiarity with New Orleans, and I feel like that's going to really help with our success. That they're familiar with kind of how to police here on the ground. We had a Troop N for 5 years down in just the quarter proper, and I was the 8th district commander when that happened, and I found that they got it, that they would bring in the people that they knew had the right temperament, and I feel like that's likely what's going to happen in this time too, is that the colonel and the superintendent are going to coordinate efforts to ensure that the right people are put in the right places, not just troopers, but everybody, so that we can increase public safety overall. Because that's our goal, right? I mean, as goes New Orleans, so goes the rest of the state as far as economy, as far as, a lot of things. So we're all here looking to make this place successful so that we can all reap its benefits.
We're visiting with NOPD Deputy Superintendent Nicholas Gernon. Nick, from the outside looking in, it seems to me that the NOPD as an organization today is a lot more open and transparent. Obviously, you've been able to work with this new chief, Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick, for a while now. Your observations?
Yeah, so you put me on the spot a little. My observations on my boss.
just if you want, just about the openness and transparency.
No,
look, I said this
I'm
the other day
when
y'all came forward about the crime stats as it related to, I think it was sexual assaults, if my memory serves me correct.
Yep.
I thought that was a huge step for the NOPD, one that I had not seen in a long, long time.
I will tell you, inside baseball here, like when we bring problems to her, she wants all the information. She wants all the angles. She tells us, she's told us early and often she doesn't suffer fools lightly. And then she makes a decision. And that's what you want in leadership. You want somebody to make an informed decision so that everybody knows what direction they're marching in. You don't want, the waffling, the indecisiveness really can be poisonous to an organization. And I appreciate her willingness to listen to all the sides and all the perspectives. And then she just makes a decision, and that's it. That's what we carry out our orders, because that's, as police officers, we like getting clear, unambiguous direction and going in that direction.
Because things are moving fast every day, right? I mean, the one thing, after serving for 40 years and 10 years as sheriff, I recognize, I used to look back on Harry Lee and say, I don't know how he did this for 32 years. Because it never ends. I mean, you're just always in this constant, perpetual motion at a very high speed.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of information coming in the digital age. Obviously, we're probably even amplifying it more from the decades that Sheriff Lee was out there, right? Because now you're all the information that you're able to get globally, from organizations, from the International Association Chiefs of Police is putting out best practices. Like, we're all taking in all these informations to make the best decisions we can for our community. And one of the good things about her is that she's a voracious reader. She's really, she can take in and synthesize a lot of information and then use it to make the best decision based on the conditions on the ground. And that's, as a follower, I appreciate that out of my leadership.
No, absolutely. And that's a sense that I get as well. Final thoughts, Chief?
Yeah, look, I appreciate you recognizing the hardworking men and women of the police department. I heard you were at French Quarter Fest last week, and you kind of saw how long they're out there. They're there hours before the stage is open and hours after the stage is closed. And I just want to tell you that the success that this department has had is really on the backs of the men and women that are in the streets doing it every single day. And I want to thank you for recognizing that on a regular basis.
No, it's my pleasure. I was out there. I saw them moving about, sitting down, just always walking around and observing. I was impressed by the coverage. I really was. And EMS, they were working their tails off.
Yes, they do. And you know what?
They had people dropping like flies out there, man.
Every
time I turned around, it was another stretcher going down the street. I think people, because you know the wind was blowing, it was cool. They forgot to hydrate. I mean, and then fall out.
Yep. And look, we'll do it all again starting tomorrow with Jazz Fest, and then
no doubt
the long summer and the lead up to the Super Bowl. So I really do want to thank the men and women of this police department. Every challenge we throw at them, they rise to it and they meet it head on.
Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. Hopefully Jazz Fest goes as successful as the French Quarter Fest did, and I'm sure it will. Thank you so much. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All righty. That's NOPD Deputy Superintendent Nicholas Gernon. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll check in with the Michael Heck coming to you from a parking lot near you, risking limb in these interviews in these parking lots around the city. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.